Well, praise the Lord. Isn't it great to figure that if you plan on getting blessed, you will?
Amen.
I heard the other day that, and I don't remember who's about, don't care. But one of the reasons that somebody stopped going to church is because they didn't feel compassion. And without even thinking about it, I said, well, how much did they bring? And it's something that we all ought to think about. If we're having trouble receiving, we need to think about how much we brought. And if we don't receive, we didn't bring any faith. Because I believe if I'm going to receive, and I don't care how bad the preacher is, he's going to say something that will bless you. And that is an experiential truth. In fact, I think there's a training there, a serious training. So sometimes when you feel like you're put under a teacher that's no good, it might be to train you. Because you can search. I know I've done that here. I've done it in Texas. Where you have to go and you have to listen to things that you shouldn't have to listen to. And you have to search in that time for something that God's trying to say. Which the proof of that is that even God can speak through an ass. And you will get the truth. Now, I want to read to you tonight. I may get off the reading once in a while, but Desiree had planned to deliver this testimony herself, and I know this won't be as good. Might be better, but it won't be as good. No, it would have been better if she'd have been here, but she's going to ask me what I did with it. I want to be faithful to do with what she wanted. She wanted to testify. So the first thing I want to say, and I wrote a couple of notes here, but the first thing I want to say to you is that the obvious attacks that the devil is bringing against his church, the obvious attacks, they will only come about when he's afraid something good's going to happen. You need to remember that. If we'd remember it a lot more carefully, we wouldn't get discouraged when these things come. We should be encouraged. Because even when it was meant for bad, he didn't even know why God's going to turn it to good. There's an attack on even Donna. And Monday night, I got an attack. Started running the fever. Is this place a dangerous place to be? Only if I want a victory.
Combat zone is always dangerous.
There you go. Only if I want a victory, because we've got a battle going on. So if anybody else gets to feeling a little bad, say no. Say no. It doesn't mean you instantly feel good, but say no, because you know that there's a victory right around the corner and you don't be left back here looking for it. Don't want to miss it. Right? So hallelujah anyway. Hallelujah for the trials. Okay, I mentioned to you the experience we had with Desiree. I'm going to start this way. Where we were, let's just say, we were working too hard. Remember what I told you about? If you don't quit working on it, I'll never be able to fix it, God would say. Well, we'd been working too hard. And we just got to our wit's end, which we never should have gone there. We turned her over to Satan. The young lady sitting over here that Sunday morning, she asked me, could you tell me what that means? I said, no, I can't. I don't understand what it means. I don't even understand what might happen. There's no explanation to that directive. It's just do it. This happened. We did this shortly before. You're going to hear this condensed testimony. A very rapid thing happened in her life. Proves the promises of the authority we have over our children. If we want more faith, this is it. Desiree had taken herself out of our authority. As most children, they are free to take what you will give. She didn't mind living on us. She didn't mind us taking her children. She didn't mind at all that we were totally raising the children. I will try to draw this picture so you'll know some of the things she's talking about, which is what selfishness does. We had built a little apartment out in the garage because we knew she couldn't afford to live in a house, even though she had tried that and failed. She couldn't make the payments. We had built her a shelter, just as parents do. But we had not pulled back from reminding her what's right and wrong. We won't do that. We will be your conscience if you don't have one. We will do that. And we will be loyal to that. And not just for our children, for other people's children too. That's what Christians are for. I want to start reading this to you. She titled it Obedience and Blessings. She started by saying, what more is there to say? If you obey, you will be blessed, right? Meeting my husband, becoming a mother to not just my three kids, but his four, was an act of obedience. Would y'all agree with that? I don't think I want to take on somebody else's four children. You've got to understand this all blew us away too. Fortunately, we kept our mouths shut. Now, Desiree, we'll stop for a minute. And Desiree believes beyond a shadow of a doubt that she has a call from God. I believe probably raised under the influence of our calling, she could not have one. I believe in lineage. I think God believes in lineage. We've kind of operated under my dad's calling, I think. One of the things that God dealt with me a while back was the danger of good people living under their parents or good people's salvation. They don't actually meet God themselves. But because they've been taught so well and they do what's right, they actually don't have enough conscience. I don't mean that's not right. Conviction to understand they're not saved yet. And the only way that's going to change is for something to go wrong in your life. Will you finally talk to God instead of your parents? Or you talk to Him instead of believing, even if it's right, it's not right. In other words, you're born again even though you're not born again. And I believe that's eventually what Desiree ran into. She says, I struggled a lot with the calling of God placed on my life. Kind of tried to pull a Jonah. The fish that swallowed me was selfishness. I like that. That was a pretty good explanation. The fish that swallowed me was selfishness. That comes from rebellion. I have a big load of it myself. Nobody tells me what to do. I still carry that. Nobody tells me what to do. I've learned to say, except God. The pastor that we have down there now, when my daughter left that church, he said, your daughter's rebellious. And I looked at him, and I said, the one thing I taught her was not to say yes, sir, to anybody. You make your own mind up. And I'll say this to you. You looking to me and calling her rebellious, would you tell me how this church started? Because you've already told me. I know. I want you to hear it from you. Well, God called. I said, no. You were in the church a few miles down the road. You didn't like what they were doing, so you started another one. And if you don't think you're rebellious, go back and talk to that pastor. See if he won't tell you you're rebellious. Selfishness and rebellion is what everybody has to fight. And more than that, you have to fight somebody else's definition of selfishness and rebellion. In my attempt to run from God, is anybody mature enough to say, in my attempt to run from God? We all did it, right? I ran from my children, my family, my true friends. Now, this is very important. I couldn't stand the quiet. That's when God's still small voice would creep into my thoughts. See, she didn't want to hear from God. Because you know what God's going to say? You're doing wrong. She didn't want to hear it. His still small voice would creep into my thoughts. And when he would remind me of who I am, whose I am, and what I was supposed to be doing. Who I am, whose I am, and what I'm supposed to be doing. I finally reached my breaking point. Now, this is a real short story. It took a while, didn't it? While she was living in that apartment, we'd never see her. She'd sleep late. We don't sleep late. She'd go out. We wouldn't stay up, wait till she got back. It's not my job. So this took a while. I finally reached my breaking point. I surrendered. And when I said, I surrender, it was the moaning, groaning repentance from the tip of your toes to the top of your head. Kind of, sorry, God, how could you ever love me the same again? I think that's part of repentance, is when you actually realize that normally, you can't be loved again. But that's when God moves in. I made a deal with God that He was all I needed. I was done living for me, done trying to squelch the call. I was ready to do what He wanted me to do. I met my husband 1 month later. Now, that was supposed to be, if you catch it later, but remember her whole premise here is that you can't be blessed until you repent. Patrick, if you can bring Romans 5, do you have the version of New King James? Yeah. Romans 5:19. I wish that Desiree could have been here Wednesday night, because you probably would not recognize her. You would not recognize her in her actions. You would not recognize her in her playing of the piano, leading praise and worship. And I don't recognize her as a mother for eight. I can't even recognize. She's been so impatient, and that she's doing this job well. Okay, here's what she wrote, copied. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many were made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now that's where she stopped initially. She'll bring it up again. I read this passage and a light bulb came on. Not that I didn't really already know what it meant, but having lived both sides of this made it more real and meaningful. Now, I don't intend to tell you what she means by both sides of this, but if I did, you probably could never look at it the same. So, it's none of your business. She means what she says here. One person's disobedience can cause generations to sin. Referring back to what the scripture just said. By me disobeying God and the call on my life, I was potentially leading my children, future grandchildren, friends, family members straight to the gates of hell. Now, I will challenge you, I will ask you, have any of you thought on the fact that your disobedience can lead people to hell? Then we must look at the other side and say your obedience can do the opposite, right? Now, I will say this as I read this. Our obedience at the gates of hell with her is to turn her over to Satan caused repentance in her life. And I thought about this. How many of anybody in the whole world, if they were literally led to the gates of hell, wouldn't turn around and leave? And how important is it for us when we see that they might go to hell, that we let them see a glimpse of it? Does that make any sense? When God calls you to minister, you're given major responsibility. It's huge. I should have had Karen say that. It's huge. Friends were never sparse. It was easy to have friends. If the silence around you leads to the voice of God, you hearing the voice of God, do you think the enemy is going to help you not be silent? He's going to put friends around you that want to party all the time, right? Friends were never sparse. I always traveled in a pack, so to speak. Why is that? What made me so desirable to be around? Even when you're not using your calling for God, there is still a draw for others. A desire to have what you have. I was leading the people down a path of destruction right along with me. Even when we think we're doing the right thing, it is not always what God intended for us and will ultimately fail. Now let me add a couple more words. Maybe the reason those around us are not being saved is because we're doing what we think is right. How do you like that one? Instead of doing what God wants us to do. And hesitating because nobody wants to turn their child over to Satan. And that's just one instance. I believe the Holy Spirit is really interested in details. For us obeying the details. Even when we think we're doing the right thing, it is not always what God intended for us to do and will ultimately fail. If you're insensitive enough to ignore the gentle reminders, the signs, the tug from deep within, then sure, your marriage, your relationship, your lifestyle will probably work out. Only due to your own ignorance, though, not because God has changed his mind. Did we get that or did I muddle it? Because that's the way she wrote it. Did you understand what she said? All right, I will finish it by him first. He never changes his mind. What she's saying is, I'll put it in my words. If you have a call on your life, and everybody that's saved does, and you don't follow that, the enemy will allow you to believe what you're doing is okay. And he'll even work it out some. You know the devil blesses too. If you don't believe that, well, ask Elton John. Ask those people, those women that are out there using their body to make money singing instead of a God-given voice. There's all kinds of instances. I'm not going to go into them. But that's what she was saying. Don't think everything's okay just because it's going right. If you're not obeying what God tells you, and you know it, and that's the Holy Spirit's job, then it's going to ultimately fail no matter what you want. I guess the best example of that is marriages. Because both, when people get married, they love each other, and they both want to do what's right for the other person. But very few, since I'm a man, I'm going to talk from that area, very few men do what they're supposed to do about their woman. They don't want to be men, they want to be a good husband. And ultimately, it fails. And they go, what did I do wrong? Well, how about you didn't obey the word of God? You weren't the head of your house. You never stood up to your wife once and said, now listen, as for me and my house, this is what we're going to do. I remember not that long ago, that, and this is the best woman that I know, but I remember out of the blue, she said something to me like, you're going to the bathroom way too often. You're peeing way too often. And it just, without even thinking, it made me violent, which is what we're supposed to do when something goes against the word. We get angry for the word's sake. And I said, don't you ever tell me that again. I don't ever want to hear it out of you again. It's not the word of God. And don't you ever tell me again. And if you can't go along with that, there's the door. You remember me saying that? It's more important for me to please God than live with you. Now, men, that's what being the head of the house is. Now, what a woman, which I have limited ability to explain, that loves God will say, okay. They will not fight. They will not yell back. They will do what the head of the house says. Who's the head of my house? I've said over and over, the only way you're ever going to learn to be a good husband is first be a bride. She wrote down here, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's Hebrews 13:8. Now the second part of Romans 5:20 comes into play. You got 5:20 up there again? Okay. It says this. She says this. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. The law entered. Now God didn't introduce the law so that the offense might abound. But he kind of said, if you want the law, I'm going to show you what will happen. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. My testimony starts where grace abounded more. Through my obedience, not through my holiness, not through my righteousness, not through, and let's go one step further, not even through my sin. Through my obedience. What was her obedience? To repent. You want the blessing of God? Repent. What is the first step in repentance? I'm wrong. If you can't say, I'm wrong on a regular basis with God, you will not be blessed. It's practice. Through my obedience, God gave me the man I prayed for when I was 13 years old. The dark-haired, light-eyed Texan. How blessed am I? Here I am, a woman with three kids, too many mistakes to count, and I get blessed like this. I mean, thanks and all, God. And this is the way Desiree talks. But really now, God, you're going to trust me not to screw it up? Y'all ever feel that way? You're going to trust me not to screw it up? Okay. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness. Whose righteousness? Something you do? No. Righteousness is Jesus Christ, right? So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Christ Jesus. It's a lifestyle we try to teach our children from the moment they start understanding right and wrong. So for her to have this understanding, she just said we taught her, right? So really, she really didn't get in the Word until she met the Word. Am I trying to put burden on you? Yes. It's a lifestyle we try to teach our children from the moment they start understanding right and wrong. Behave and be rewarded. Be disobedient and suffer. It seems so easy, so elementary, yet it is one of the hardest things that people in our society seem to understand. Sin reigned in the death of my spirit. She said, sin reigned in the death of my spirit. Even though it didn't seem that bad, sin is sin. I was dying. But God's grace, the moment Jesus died on the cross, the very beginning of everything, when the blood covered all I could do wrong, grace reigned through righteousness to eternal life through Christ Jesus my Lord. I surrendered my life to my Lord, and through the act of surrender. Now, if she would have talked about the thing that's rampant in our society, rampant in this church, rampant in every church, it's the lack of the ability to surrender. I give up. Would you agree with that? Do you find that easy, Harry? I don't find it easy either. So the hardest work of faith that we have is to surrender to somebody we can't see. Surrender a lot of times to a method or a word that goes against the grain, what we've been taught. To love somebody that we don't think is lovable. To forgive somebody that we don't think deserves forgiveness. We don't surrender to the very commands of God. We don't surrender to the fact that we might be wrong. We fight that like crazy. And through the act of surrender, I am a living, breathing, moving, excited, speaking work of God, called to spread His word to anyone who will listen. And in this case, even if they don't hear you. Isn't that what she said? I was blocking might be leading my friends and family and my only children to hell. Well, then if I'm speaking the word of God, I'm leading them to heaven, even if they don't hear me. Or in her case, even she didn't want to hear me, she still heard me. That's the promise in the word, isn't it not? Is it not? Do you know the only promise that you and I have over somebody else's life is as a parent? I can say to my, no, I can raise them up in the way they should go, and I have a promise that they will not depart from, not in that way. No, I don't have that ability, that promise over anybody else. Okay, let me say it another way. She had no choice. If we believe that about our children, or believe that about God, our children are safe, no matter what it looks like. Now, the question is, did I do my job? Or do I need to start now? I'm the wife God always intended me to be. I'm the mother to 8 beautiful, amazing, God-fearing, praying, praising, Jesus-loving children. Now the faith is already speaking over the family. So not only does the repentance come by you believing the Word of God, her vision is corrected by your belief in the Word of God and her now surrendered to the Word of God. She now sees her children as Jesus-loving children. My husband and I have a prayer life. As a family, we have a prayer life. God promises to me that I believed for and even more, that He kept a surprise having and are going to come to pass. In other words, she's already believing that what I'm saying is going to come to pass. Is she up to my expectations of faith? No, she's not. But she's getting there. She's getting there. Through obedience, I have been blessed. She didn't say through good works. She didn't say through repentance, which is part of obedience. She didn't say because we pray every day, because we read every day. She didn't say that. She said, through obedience, my obedience, I have been blessed. Now, she ends this with this, Deuteronomy 28. Now, anybody that knows me has heard this before. And now, the next generation is repeating it back to me. Cool? Deuteronomy 28.
28:1.
One, I'm sorry. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today. Now, a man of God said, if you will obey God's commandments, then I'm commanding you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Do you all understand the word overtake? That means you're diligently seeking and obeying, and the blessings run over you. You don't seek the blessings, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Now, does it say in here anywhere that it's always going to look rosy? Then my job is to believe that no matter what I see, I'm blessed. Or because I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, my God, I am blessed. Well, you don't look so blessed right now. I didn't say I look blessed. I said I am blessed. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies, who rise against you. So the promise is what? The enemies are going to rise against you. But the bigger promise, they shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. That's blowing up the enemy pretty good, isn't it? He comes in as a piece and leaves his seven pieces. I like it. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses. So as you live, your savings account will grow. Your plenteousness will grow. And in all to which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. Now, has given you is not the same as is giving you. So don't ever think you're as blessed as you're going to be, because the promise says, is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself. Now, what does that mean? That means it doesn't make any difference where people think you're holy or not. You're established in his eyes as holy because you obey. And you really don't care what anybody else thinks. Just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you, and the Lord will grant you plenty of goods. Do you obey God to get plenty of goods? No. You're not listening if that's what you do. You're listening to the wrong preacher if that's what they say. You get blessed when you obey. It's not because of you. It's just in the formula that God has made. You'll be blessed in the fruit of your body and the increase of your livestock and the produce of your ground in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure. Huh. What is the Lord's good treasure? We have no idea. But it's not just money. We know that what he paves streets with is pretty valuable here. So when he blesses you according to his riches and glory, it's far beyond monetary understanding. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Okay, why is the United States borrowing money? Not even close. They're openly disobeying.
That's right. It can borrow its way out of debt.
Yeah. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. I'm going to refer back to something I shouldn't have said Sunday, but I'll do it again here. You know how you know you're the head and not the tail? Crap gets coming out of your mouth. God speaks to me in strange ways. I hope you put up with it. You shall be above only and not beneath if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. So you shall not turn aside from them, from any of the words which I command you this day. Not to the right, not to the left. You're not to go after other gods, you're not to serve them. Now, I think that's a fairly good testimony, a fairly explained testimony. I would have rather she did it. But I'm going to say that you were helped because of it.
Amen.
Am I going to lie? Okay, then I'm going to say she blessed you. I'll tell her that. Amen. Now, that is what most of us do, is we condense a story. She was far worse than that. All of us were. And she's more blessed than she can describe. She's failed twice before as a wife. Now she's saddled with 8 children. She got a great husband. She's a great mother. I don't know how in the world you feed every day, 3 times a day, 8 children and 2 adults. But they're blessed with a house, kitchen large enough and nearly designed to handle this, a new house, and she's got a table over there for 8 and a table over here for 6. They eat over here. The children eat what they're served. They don't serve themselves. Their plates are dished out and they go and eat. She's a good cook. I didn't know she could cook that good. She's a good cook. It's a good housekeeper. And she cares for the children. That's got to be a blessing from God. Please don't ask me to do that. Don't ask her to do that, even though once in a while she does. But she doesn't do it as good as Desiree does. She is actively pursuing serving God. She's not afraid to get up and play that keyboard and sing songs to God. And guess where she learned that? In bars. What do you call that? Karaoke. And if she were here, she would have told you that. I got good at singing because I went to the bar and sang out with karaoke. All right, which one of us would recommend for somebody to learn to sing that way? Not me. But God always turns what was meant for bad to good. I don't know how many times, but 2 times that I know of, she even had one of the cur dogs come up to meet me. You understand what a cur dog is, don't you? Yeah. And I was so insulting with that guy, you wouldn't believe. I did everything but pull a shotgun on him, run him off, and say, don't you bring something like that up here again. And I told the guy, no sane parent would want grandkids out of you. Well, I guarantee you, one way or the other, they're going to respect you more. Don't try to be friends with the enemy. And that one left and never came back. And I don't blame him. The husband that she has now, sit down and talk to me. And I told him I wouldn't marry her. I wouldn't. I'd run while I had the opportunity. Now, he was in the process. He was working as an engine mechanic for an oil company. And I told him what he had to do to make this marriage work. I told him, you want to make sure this thing works? You be the head of the house. And you don't give her 1 red cent that she don't spend. You divvy it out. You don't give her a bank account. You don't give her a credit card. You tight fist this thing like crazy. Only if you want this marriage to work. And I heard the other day that he greatly respected me instead of being insulted. Now, God wanted Desiree blessed. He wanted those children blessed. Now, if you were God, how are you going to bless 8 children? The number one step, the number 2 step. Number 1, teach them in the ways of the Lord, right? But what's the second step? You got to provide funds, right? How would you like to raise 8 children? This guy did his job. Right after he married my daughter, the company called him up, said, we want to promote you. And they made him over a lot of people, a lot of responsibility. He's got a truck that looks like he works hard, and I don't think he ever opens the toolboxes. And I know he's got to be making well over $100,000 in South Texas. That's a lot more than $100,000 here. God backed up the blessing for Desiree and blessed him in the process. Now, you should know that because he didn't think anything about going down to the airport and buying 9 airline tickets to be up here for a few days. He said, oh, we got them cheap. They were $200 apiece. That's still a lot of money. And who in the world would want to follow somebody through that security line and that entrance to the plane? But he's happy as if he had good sense. She is too. Another point here is that no matter where we are, whatever responsibility God gives us, if we're not happy in it, it's not God. If we're not feeling blessed, knowing blessing, it's not God, unless we're disobeying. I would highly recommend upon her testimony and upon all ration of the Bible that if we have too much turmoil in our life, we need to back up and see where we're disobedient. No condemnation. God never condemns. He convicts. And he convicts from love. You listen to that? She said, every time it got silent, I heard his voice. She considered that punishment. I consider that an extreme blessing. When we go to bed at night, if we don't feel like praising God, we need to respond to what we feel like. The voice we hear. Amen? If it's not praise you, Lord, let it be help me, Lord. Something's wrong here. Let's get it clear. I took a right turn when I should have taken a left. Whatever. Tell me. I want to get it corrected. Dad always, he had a favorite saying. He said, God never looks at what we hit. He looks at what we aim at. The moral of that little statement is that we're not judged in our mistakes. We're only judged in what we're aiming at, what we're heading for, and how pure our heart is. The thing we need to be cautious in religion especially, that means long-term fellowship, long-term church attendance, is that we don't get what we see on television in the presidential debates right now. We get so smooth and we develop such good answers that it's no longer truth. Do I need to say that again? I need to quit telling you things that are not true. I need to be bold enough to say, why are you screwing up like that? Knowing that it's not condemnation. It's probably, see, what we don't want to believe is that if God can use any old jackass, he can use another human being. So we always want to take offense at a word we don't want to hear. When in reality, if it's a word we don't want to hear, we say, thank you, Jesus. If he's wrong, get him. If he's right, get me. Which gives us time to think on these things. I told you one time, a long time ago, that what do you do if a prophet comes in and gives you a word? What do you do with it? You got a shelf like that somewhere? Put it on the shelf. Wait. The Bible says that everything be established out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. So God is not in a hurry. He doesn't get mad when we move a little slower than we should. The one that I'm always impressed with is the fleece. He hears the voice of God, and he asks for proof. In one case, make everything wet out here except the fleece. And God did it. And he said, this is the third time, he said, I'm not sure yet. Could you reverse that? Make the fleece wet and everything else dry? And what was God's response? You want to stand in amazement, his grace, his mercy? He did it. You would think, come on, let's step on each other's toes a little bit. If I tell you that my car is green, are you going to ask me two different ways to prove it? Without me getting angry and saying, but God did. He didn't mind proving it two different ways. Not only did he speak the truth, he proved it twice through Christ Jesus. If we're in Christ Jesus, he will listen to Christ Jesus. Now, a living, walking testimony I gave you tonight is that this girl, raised in a Christian home, taught the right way, went the wrong way, but couldn't get away from the right way. Now, let's go a little further. If we have given our hearts to God, isn't he a better parent than ours? Isn't he more diligent to seek us out, to stay on our case and never give up? Without making us look like big dummies. That's the God I serve. And he backs it up with a daughter that's willing to give you the testimony. If my son were here, he'd probably give you just as good a testimony. I will not stand for anything else. When is our faith going to be strong enough to say, I will not stand for anything else? Here's my word, here's the word of God, and this is my word on the word of God. I told you Monday night, I started running a fever. So, that's not a sickness. That's a symptom. And we said, who cares? We're not having it. What do you mean you're not having it? You got a fever. Well, I'm not having whatever is trying to give me the fever. Now, and it took me that night and the next day to get over that. What? I don't know what. It took that long for my faith to make me whole. Isn't that what we read the scripture? Now look, my daughter comes up, a friend, family member, doesn't make a difference who it is, and there's symptoms of hell. And we know, just like we know about sickness and disease, are symptoms, that if we don't treat this properly, we're going to get sick, probably or possibly unto death. And the more we understand about faith, the more critical it becomes the fight, to fight and the fight. Now, at what point should I have said to my daughter, to hell with you, even though that's what she deserved? Did I ever have the right to say that? No. And it's part of the understanding I'm getting about turning them over to Satan. You're not really giving Satan permission in their life. What you're doing is hoping that she can see a little glimpse of hell. So that, what's the scripture say? So that
1 Corinthians 1:5. I'm sorry, 5:5, Patrick.
Okay, 5:5. All right, back up one, please, sir. And I already tell you that the goodness of God was our obedience was timely by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knew. Well, let me finish. Let's read this and see. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, you have to be together. You can't be separated. I don't mean physically. I mean, you have to be in agreement. You have to be in the spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that next one, sir. Deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, I can tell you, I don't have a total understanding of that. I don't have a total understanding of that. Except I know through our obedience, even without understanding, her flesh was not destroyed. Now, here's my belief. I believe that you will obey on a timely basis. In this case, turn them over to Satan. Do whatever the Holy Spirit says. That their flesh doesn't have to be destroyed to bring them back to Jesus. That's a way to encourage you. The truth of the matter is the flesh has to be destroyed. What is the flesh has to be destroyed? Surrender. Yeah. Surrender. Surrender. That's my life. That's your life. That's our loved ones. Amen? Now let me ask you a question. Is anybody afraid to surrender? Because you may have to meet this scripture if you're afraid to surrender. I'm going to say it even further. If you're not quick to surrender. One of the things I know that God's been teaching me, in my ability, I'm as ornery as they come. So I'm saying in my ability, which only God knows, he's been making me quick to surrender to you. You're right. I'm sorry. It's a practice we got to get into. Have you not noticed that? Mm-hmm. I have noticed it too. I'm not good at that. So we practice. You practice. We all practice. When we might be wrong, we surrender. I don't even have to be sure, because there's no danger in surrender. If I tell Jean back here that she has to forgive, okay, now that you can hear me. When I tell Jean or anybody else, I'm not picking on her, you've got to forgive everybody, no matter what. You have to surrender that to that, not surrender that, surrender to that, or you won't be blessed. We read there in Deuteronomy that the man of God said, what I deliver you is the word of God, and you will obey or you will be cursed. Isn't that what it says? Mm. Remember when she wrote in her testimony, when you are given the call of God, you have a huge, huge responsibility. Some of this is beginning to get into her brain. Is it getting into ours? That I may hold Stephen's future with my obedience. Now this says in the scripture before that we've got to be in agreement and we've got to be in the spirit. What does that mean? We got to chant, we got to dance, we got to speak in tongues. What does that mean? No, we've got to learn to listen to God. If you do all that other, it's fine. I don't care. But I know, a lot of times, do you know how hard it is for me to listen when I'm dancing? Maybe it's just me. But I find it very difficult to hear when I'm speaking. One of the things she pointed to in her testimony was she hated silence. You go into most people's homes today, they have radio, TV, cell phone, home phone, and they hope they're all going off at the same time. What does that tell you? That we don't like to just sit and listen. Today, in the few minutes I was studying this, I knew it wasn't my study, but I need to study what she's trying to say here. In a room full of TV and people and whatever, I got quiet. What am I doing? Well, I don't really want to know what she says. I want to know what God says, right? I know this testimony is of the Spirit and will be heard through the Spirit, by the Spirit. Sunday, I go over to speak to Bob, and he's really not here. He's kind of in la-la land. And I try to speak to him, and he just kind of, it's a lot. What am I seeing? Am I seeing the Holy Spirit speaking to Bob? Is that what I'm seeing? That's what I'm going to believe. When the young lady over here said, what did you mean by turning him over to Satan? Is that the Holy Spirit speaking to her? The answer is yes. If I'm not doing the bugging, I'm not responsible for all the answers. That's the good part of ministry. How much is a minister required to know? Nothing, except Jesus and Him crucified. That's what I'm required to know. What else is He required to do? Shut up and listen. Much more important than studying. I've shared with you before. I have a Bible at home up on my desk. It's all tattered and worn and... What is that Bible? That Bible is the one I was holding when God said, I want you to read the Bible as I tell you to. Well, us ignorant people, we say, okay. We don't know what it means, just okay. That's where we need to be. No more questions, just say, okay. Now, I have it marked. It's erratic, but if you'll take the time markings on there, you'll see it took me 3.5 years to read the Bible. Why? Well, I can read faster than that. I promise you, I can read a lot faster than that. But evidently, I can't hear faster than that. Because I remember many a time, you start reading the Bible, and he'd let me read one scripture, and then it was time to meditate. And you're going, oh, yep. And things changed drastically. I got more learning from that 3.5 years than through any amount of study. Even though you might call that study, it was not study. It was just shut up and listen. Taught me many things. I don't have a Bible in my office that's any more important than that. You know what else I know? I have a daughter and a son's testimony that is true because of that study. Y'all get that? Well, Stan, are you trying to say you had a part of this? Yep. My obedience, according to her own testimony, brings blessings to my children, grandchildren, family, friends. Isn't that what she said? So we need to be bold enough to accept the responsibility. Now, to me, I can say it one more way. If I want my family, friends, future family, our grandchildren, great-grandchildren blessed, I got to step up the plate and do what God has told me to do, whatever that is. And generally speaking, it's be a pain in the butt. Now, come on. When you corrected your children, did you ever have one of them hug you and say, thank you for the correction? My brother's wife said, everything is black and white to you. Yeah, we're getting there. What are we seeing here? A misunderstanding of truth and lies. If you think there's a gray area, please, if you've been to theological seminary, Bible school, call them liars and understand there's only black and white. There's no other way to get a blessing for your family, your future family, for your friends, those that you just run into. We've greatly hurt the word testimony. We think that meeting somebody on the corner and just being nice to them is a testimony. No. You can be nice to them. If the Holy Spirit gives you the ability, you can be gentle with them. But you better be truthful. We were in Cozumel. We met, what would you call him? An agnostic or a wannabe atheist? Yeah. Just call them wannabes because there's no such thing as an atheist. And he didn't want to get real rude with me, and I didn't want to get rude with him. I wanted to treat the man like he had smarts, even though I knew he couldn't see light or truth or understanding. So we spent time with him just talking. And when he would disagree with the church, you know how easy it is to disagree with the church? It is real easy. Because the church usually does what's wrong. It's what God told me one time. He said, I own the biggest abortion clinic on the face of the earth. I birth them, the church kills them. So I don't want to be part of that church. We worked with him. He got so uncomfortable after what? 2 hours? Hour and a half? That he just, boom, pew. We don't know what it was about, but he disappeared. And the next day, we never saw him anywhere. And the next day, he showed up. And we had a real good conversation then. Right? In front of that old lady. God's after. And then I remember Desiree. And I remember Paul Lavoie. And I remember the people that really went through trouble. God's trouble, if you like to call it that way. Him drawing them back to him. Drawing them back. And we think we have something to do with it. We do. Obedience. But all we have to do is obey. We don't have to spend hours on a computer, which helps. But that's not the answer. We don't have to run from him. That's not the answer. All we have to do is, she said it's so simple. That's what she said. It is so simple. All you have to do is surrender. What do I surrender to? The next clown that comes along and tries to convince me to be an atheist? Okay, you got some of my time. Let's talk. That's surrender. How can I do that safely? That I know that it'll only end up good. Right? How can I surrender to my wife being in the hospital?
By knowing it's going to come out good in the end.
And that the enemy, this weapon, is not going to prosper.
And we will both be better and stronger when it's
gone. And I have the promise. It's not my decision. It's God's decision that I'm agreeing with. If it's my decision, it's a selfish thing. I want my wife back. I want my life back. Well, what do you think God wants? Why don't you think of him once in a while? Why don't you fight your battles for him? Let him be proud. Let him receive the glory, the honor. What was meant for bad, God will turn to good. And it won't be for just her. Now, I don't understand. That's just a good way to say it. I don't understand why we're doing this. I don't understand it all. I've got all kinds of theory, and probably most of them are wrong, about why Bill's where he's at. All of them need to learn a lesson. You do, Fran does, Bill does, I do, you do. And the smart people learn lessons through the ones that are going through the trial. They don't point fingers and say, oh, if you should have done, no, no, no. They take, like it's food, they take it in and they become stronger with that person. Isn't that what we did when we actually got a realization of what Jesus did at the cross? We got stronger through his afflictions. I won't be satisfied until Fran testifies in this place. And I won't be satisfied until Bill, whatever this is, needs to be changed and he testifies. I don't want to see the old Fran. I don't want to see the old Bill. I don't want this man to be the same.
Amen.
And that is no ridicule, right?
Amen.
We have fought many battles. We are still fighting battles and we're getting better. Because the enemy is under our feet. So we grow glory to glory. And we actually use him as a stepping stone. That's the formula that God gives us. Not, oh my God, if this keeps going, I'm going to die. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. Do we have that kind of faith in a God that has that kind of faith in us? Can you believe this, Bill? That God would entrust in us our testimony. Would trust in us other people's futures when you know your own past. That's what she said. When I know my past, how can God trust me? Okay, now we're getting there. Now we have to do this. Jesus, you trust me? Okay, I'm going on. How comfortable do you think it is for me tonight to come and read somebody else's testimony? That's not any format that I've ever done before. So it's a new thing tonight. How about tomorrow? Well, that's another new thing. How about Sunday? Well, that's another new thing. Well, you've done it. No, no, you don't understand. I don't get there. You know what I mean by that? I have not arrived. Every time I stand up and deliver a word of God, it's a brand new day. Is that right? And if he didn't speak it to me, if I didn't get it, I have no right to give it to somebody else. Now, I told Bill that a few months ago. Bill, if you don't get it, you don't give it. Now, what did I really say? If I didn't get touched, if I didn't get changed, then anything that comes out of my mouth is crap. And I haven't gotten there yet, but if I felt it, if I understood it, and I give it to you, it's no longer crap. It's real stuff. What's a testimony? What is a testimony? It is not preaching a word of somebody else. It's not preaching a word for somebody else. It's telling you what I know. They overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the thing he's doing to me, which is the word of my testimony. How could it get much more exciting than you to tell me what God has spoken to you recently? Not 20 years ago, not 30 years ago. Well, what else are you saying? Well, I can be instant in season and out of season because God can speak to me right here, right now. Are you that sure? Are you that sure, Harry? If something tries to take Marie, are you sure that you can be instant in season and out of season? Total peace, total calm, knowing. I think if God would have a word for the entire world right now, is what do you know? What do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt? The old timers used to say it this way. If God would come right now, this moment, where would you be? Okay, let's take it to the extreme. If God would come for me this moment, where would you be? Are you in a frantic, lost without hope? Or is the hope still real?
Still real. You mentioned this thing about 5:5. 1 Corinthians 5:5. I struggled with that one for a long time. And it wasn't very long ago. It was just maybe less than half a year ago. God gave me the answer to that one. He explained it to me. And it was a very simple explanation. That if what has happened in this chapter is that there's a brother, that means a fellow Christian, that had already received the Lord in his heart. Because he had received God's Spirit. He had a change of spirit. Okay. So then this man that they were talking about became a little bit of a... He did some things that were totally unguided. They're sinful. And he wouldn't be corrected. Turning the man over to Satan was his sin. The flesh. Whatever you want to call it. That flesh was, or that sin, was turned over to God. But God would not let go. Once you become a Christian, no matter what you do after, God will not let go of your spirit because he says, I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you. So you take that, you can take that as written in stone. If he takes that spirit and he holds it in his hand, he says, your spirit is with him. He's not going to give it back to Satan. So when you die, you'll go to heaven because his spirit, he's not going to let that spirit go. I thought that can't be, but it's true. It's exactly what it says. It says that this turn this man over to Satan so that his sinful nature may be destroyed and his spirit saved on the day of the Lord. That tells me right there, once you're a Christian and you see children falling back and you see other people backsliding, you know that there's hope for them yet. And I have no problem with that statement. I have no qualms with it whatsoever.
But I will say this to you, Harry. There's a reason that scripture is there.
Well, absolutely.
And there's going to be a bad response if we don't obey.
That's right.
That person you're talking about can still go to hell if we don't do what we're supposed to do.
But his spirit will still be saved.
No, sir. No, because there's a certain thing called blaspheme. And if you want to try to understand something and not be able to understand what blaspheme means, you can't understand blaspheme. Because you love God, let's say it this way. Blaspheme can only happen when you get so hard-hearted that God can no longer speak to you. See, our hope of salvation is that we hear God. And if we stop hearing God, we're on a downward slope that's not going to, I mean, try to understand this, Harry. We get in such bad spiritual condition that we give credit for what the devil does, or vice versa, to Satan. Or we say, that's of the devil, when it's of God. Now, how can you do that? So you've gone so backwards, so hard-hearted. Now, how do I think that's going to happen? Man, I can't tell you how that can happen. I know it's in the Bible, but I couldn't tell you how to get it done. It doesn't make any sense to me. Let's go one step further. The Holy Spirit is so active in trying to recover that one that's what we all always call backsliding, that I don't understand how you'd go that far. Am I going to preach that you lose your salvation? Nah, I don't have the ability to preach that. I know it's in the Bible. I just don't know how. And guess what, Harry? I don't want to find out. And I don't want anybody that I know to find out. How do you and I keep them from finding out how to backslide or blaspheme? We help the Holy Spirit when we're supposed to. I mean, I don't care if he's looking to a guy and say, are you crazy? Are you out of your mind? Do you know how stupid that sounds? I don't care if they like me or not. I want to remind them. I want to help remind them that you can't be satisfied with what you're doing or saying. And I'm going to help you not be satisfied. I think that's what the goal of the Holy Spirit with that atheist guy. He ain't no atheist. He's just been disappointed in church. Well, that is the root of nearly every problem that you run into with mankind. It's some kind of hurt in the church. By the way, I don't know how you go to church without being hurt. So I'm not going to tell you that you'll never be hurt in church. But the other thing that proves to us that we got a big job to do is the severe attack on the physical being of the people that want to do the help. I take great encouragement, great excitement in that the devil is worried. And I think sometimes we ought to get very angry and do more because some people around us are getting attacked. Anytime we find ourselves real comfortable in an easy chair and everything's satisfied, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. And anytime we feel ourselves weighted down, it wouldn't disappoint me at all if this man said, I'm tired, like you did Sunday. That's a request for lifting up of hands. And we should not be ashamed to do that. Didn't it say in agreement in the Spirit? Does everybody here hear from God? You know beyond a shadow of a doubt. I preached a sermon not too long ago. Is there enough evidence to prove that? It hadn't to do with hearing the voice of God. It had to do with faith. Is there any evidence that you can pull out that shows that you have faith? Now I'm asking you, is there any evidence that you can pull out that shows you hear from God? Or do you just encourage yourself with quotes and sayings and brilliant remarks? Bob, has there ever been proof to you that I hear from God? What would that be? I could probably give you a number of things. But I remember one time when we were in Cozumel, and I came across as a pain in the butt, but there was something in me that wouldn't let me alone. And he took me to dive that day. He took Connie and I to dive. And on the way, I kept saying, Bob, we need to turn that car in. We had two rental cars. We went to see something, and I felt like as soon as we got through, we need to turn them in. And I turned mine in. I'd rather take the taxi ride than have the paid-for car the next day. He said, well, I'm going to turn it in, but I'm going to take you there first. Okay. We stopped and ate breakfast, and I said, Bob, you got to turn that car in. Now tell me you're going to, and he told me, I'm going to turn the car in. He didn't turn the car in. Patrick, what happened? You broke a leg. She went to the hospital. It cost him thousands. It cost him thousands. And you give God, by the way, this is the hard part. You give God the credit by saying this, I was wrong. I'm sorry. I repent. And the next time I hear from God, I'm going to do it. Come on, there's the rough part. Because you have to say you heard from God and I didn't, evidently. Now, that's just one. But it's laid out there. It was laid out there for you. It was laid out there for him and his wife. It was laid out there for my daughter. It was laid out there for us. And you'd be dumb if you didn't say God knew what he was trying to get across. Y'all ever heard of Lester Roloff? That's an old-time evangelist. The day that he died, when he got on the plane, he told everybody around him, he said, this is the best day of my life. You're going to see this is the best day of my life. Now, I don't know what he knew, but he spoke the truth. He died that day. was an airplane crash? I think so. He didn't get afraid of possible vision of an airplane crash. He said, I'm excited. Do we trust God? One of the things that more and more has been in me lately, is that I hear from God. And sometimes, who was it the other day? I told him something. They said, well, I got to hear God about that. I looked at him and said, you just did. You just did. You just heard from God. Well, he rejected it. Well, maybe it's because I didn't say it right. But we need to be bold enough to understand that sometimes we speak for God. Don't get no ego. And sometimes you're going to be wrong, and you still better not give up. Somebody's life may depend on it. Starting with what we see here is our children. Don't be afraid to tell your children you're being a dodo, because their life and the future of their children's lives may depend on what you say. Am I forgiven? Am I seated in Christ Jesus at the right hand of the Father? Then I ought to be able to hear something once in a while. There's some kind of conversation going on, and I need to hear it. And the Holy Spirit was sent here so that our ears would clear up, so we can hear once in a while. And sometimes it takes so long that we nearly forget it. Is that right? This is clarifying to us what really went on. And the cool part is we can believe the word even if we don't understand the word. Isn't that good? I don't understand when it deals with Fran. The scripture says all things, it'll turn out good. What was meant for bad will turn out good. I don't have to understand this. I have to believe it. Amen. I don't have to understand. Well, I don't understand why I had a fever the other night. I didn't care for that. No, but I still believe. It was a fight that I went through and won. I won it the minute I believed it. Didn't make any difference that I still had a fever. Did I enjoy it? No. No, and I don't think they enjoyed that I had that feeling. But now they can enjoy the fact that I won. I want this church to enjoy y'all's victory. And never, ever, ever doubt that there's a victory there. Because that would be what he needs. I went to see Fran early on. And I got angry when I walked into that room. Not at you, not at her, but what the doctors were doing to her. But now I'm sitting here and I don't care what they've tried to do to her, what they've tried to speak over her, what they've tried to believe about her. I'm only interested in what he's believing. He's the head of the house. He's the one that opens the door and shuts the door. And there's going to be a visitor. It's called the back door guy. That's the Satan. He comes in the back door. He's just like the IRS. He's going to come after your wife. Because he's already run into you, and you won. So I'm coming in the back door. And my wife's protection is how I believe in you, since you're not married. And your protection is what this church believes. That's why we talk about standing in agreement. This old stuff, I just get upset with Jane. She just... Blah, blah, blah. Get over it. Don't call yourself mature and carry a grudge. Remember things you're not supposed to remember. Right? You're the same lady that walked in this church originally and praised the Lord by saying sanctuary here. That's you. You're still the same lady. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget it. Can you believe that my belief and the church's belief can provide you a sanctuary? How can I do that? By being obedient. Stan, are you trying to say you're always right? No. I miss it. I'm still obedient. Lady right back up there, no longer attends. She said to me, you think everything you do is right. Yes. Or I wouldn't do it. If I knew it was wrong, I wouldn't do it. What kind of crazy talk are you doing? You think that everybody that attends this church ought to be here every time the door is open. Yeah. What else would you have me say? That it's all right to miss 10% of the time? 25%. Maybe 50% would be better for you. Do you understand how easy it is to betray somebody? Here's the scripture. Jesus said, I attend church more than all of you. And you better think about this. Jesus didn't need to go to church. So what should I tell my children? Well, are you better than Jesus? If you think you're hot stuff, are you better than Jesus? How would you like to be the parents of 8 children that have to show up every time the church door is open? Where did she get that? Because every time the church door opened, she was there. Raise them, train them up in the way they should go. And now you talk to Dale. Now she got a hard, dyed-in-the-wool Baptist now trying to preach to you. Didn't he try to do that the other night? He's catching on fire. Somebody told me that he wants to preach. Be obedient. Because if you're not obedient, you don't have a message. I'm sorry, Desiree's husband, yeah. Are our hearts lifted tonight? Because I have failed if that's not the case. But it's the same thing with any sickness or disease. When the symptom or the offense comes, don't take it. Aggressively, don't take it. That means it's not for me. I reject it in Jesus' name. What happened at the cross? Back to that. It's already finished. I have no place here.
Return it to sender.
There you go. They don't have the address here. Can't make a delivery if there's no address. How do I make an address? Well, believe that I could be an address. I started off this, you're talking about. I started off, it may be a sinful way. But I would look at somebody and say, how does it feel to be wrong? It's the way I had to start with it. God had to start somewhere with me. Well, here's what I believe the Lord wants us to do tonight. As we read the scripture, come into agreement. Enter into the same spirit. Spirit of agreement, which only comes from the Holy Spirit. We need to say to these mountains, these offenses, that Fran is healed. I don't give a flip about the reports. I'm glad when he gives a good report, but if he never gave one, it doesn't change the word. Same statement about Bill. You know, Joanna would come across with those reports. I'd laugh at him. That doesn't. A doctor's report never changes the truth. A daughter of somebody, an unbelieving daughter, never changes the truth. I didn't base my belief system. This church does not base their belief system on hope. Or I wish. Baloney. You need to know what Jesus accomplished. He either did it or he didn't. I either believe it or I don't. And I'm the fool if I don't. And then I need to live on it. And then I need to force that truth on everybody if possible. I am to bring glory to God. And you don't bring glory to God by saying good things at a funeral. I mean, you can, but you know what I'm saying. Little caption on the, and let's say that's about all belief, our whole belief system. The caption on the sign said, at your funeral, don't make your preacher a liar. Amen?
Amen.
Bill, are you healed? Not going to be. You are. How about everybody else in here? Because I don't want to hang around a bunch of wannabes. When Jesus said, I am, you're to take up your cross and say the same thing. I am. I am saved. By the same work, I am healed. I am delivered. We read Deuteronomy. God didn't write that for amusement. That is me. I am blessed. Can you say that? Is there enough proof around you to prove that? No, it doesn't say let the people that are wishing to be the redeemed of the Lord say so. I am redeemed. I am healed. I am prosperous. I am blessed. My children are the same. My grandchildren. I don't even know all of them yet. They are. Why? Because their parents are teaching the same thing. As strong as me right now, give them time. Don't get in a hurry. That's what we really need to learn. God, I want you healed now. No, you're already healed now. I have to be patient with that. Now, this man prophesied we'd have a short service. It's not his fault that he didn't. So don't blame him. He was trying to make it so. I heard that a while ago. While I was up here reading this, I heard. You guys don't understand how much I hear sometimes. But I heard God say to me, he was trying to say this so I'd be shorter. Rightfully so. I just didn't obey. Y'all be blessed. Amen? Don't want to be blessed. Be blessed. Don't want to be healed. Be healed. You are. It's done. And if you think this service is too long, then you need to understand that God can redeem the time, right? If he misses 20, 30 minutes of sleep, God can give him an hour because of it. How? I don't care how. I don't know how. Be diligent with your friends, your family, your children, and your grandchildren. Be diligent. If you have to tell them, you look at them and you say, you keep doing that, you're going to go to hell. Not as prophecy. The scripture says that. They tell you you're saved, which is the normal defense for most. No, you're not. There's not one thing in your life that is safe, so you're not saved. Her grandson, but it gave me light today. And you notice how fast I reacted? Because it was against the word. He's getting ready to graduate high school. I said, somebody, one of them said, you need to check the military out. You know what his response was? The same thing as his parents had taught him. Well, I'm just afraid of it. I looked at him, I said, don't you ever, ever say again that you're afraid to do what every other man can do. Now, is your Bible a respecter of persons? Then you have no fear in the word. And don't ever let your mouth speak that you're afraid to trust, or even your mind suggest it. There's too many good people have gone before. Jesus died, not so you can be afraid to enter this battle, but so your surety. See, we don't need insurance. We need assurance. That I have assurance that I will win this battle. And insurance is not going to make me comfortable. Assurance is. Amen? You sure tonight? All hearts clear. All right. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for whatever you spoke here tonight. And I thank you that your people heard and are forever changed in Jesus' name. Give them sweet sleep and fast sleep. And for that, we'll give you thanks, praise, and glory and honor forever. Amen. Thank you for listening.